Hello and welcome to Meandering with Myrne, a potpourri of podcasts by me, veterinary ethologist Myrne Milani. Join me as I ponder any and all things animal and human, what we know and what we don't, where we've been, where we are, and where we're headed.
This third podcast in the Animal X-Files is also about sex, and specifically about population control in animals. Did you ever wonder why, for hundreds and hundreds of years, when humans wanted to control animal populations, that they castrated males? Well, this was done for two reasons. One reason was because castrating a male is a heck of a lot easier than spaying or performing a complete ovariohysterectomy on a female. This occurs because the testicles are outside the body wall. The second reason is, politically correct or not, if we maintain a roughly 1-to-1 male to female ratio in a population, we're going to have way too many breeding males. This occurs because in the natural order of things, males compete for the females who are the scarce resource. Depending on the particular environment, sometimes these are the more physically fit males, but other times these may be males who are more mentally fit or emotionally fit for some reason. But it's a natural process geared to result in young most likely to survive. Nor is it necessarily a winner-take-all situation. There are multiple reproductive strategies in animals. Females may mate with more than one male, and more than one male may father some of the offspring in a particular litter. Females might block sperm, and males might do things to ensure that that doesn't happen. But regardless, in controlled situations such as on a farm, you can wind up with these young males who have a lot of energy, and as with companion animals and humans, the less confidence they have, the more fearful they are, the more reactive they are to changes in their environment, and as a result, the more dangerous they are. So consequently, in those particular environments, it makes sense to castrate those animals for two reasons. One is for population control, and the second is for behavioral reasons. There are other reasons, but we're going to let it go at that. However, that's not what happened with dogs and cats. Well, depending on your age, you may not realize this, but veterinary medicine did not start out castrating male dogs in particular first. It would seem so idiot simple that it was rather astonishing when that didn't occur. The only thing more astonishing is the fact that we never said anything about it. I mean, veterinarians just accepted this for the reason that veterinary medicine had made the shift to pattern itself after human medicine. And human medicine, back then, had this thing about female reproductive organs. And so, instead, we started out spaying females for population control. Surgery was more difficult. And in terms of birth control, the effects weren't any better. And in fact, some could easily argue that the results were worse. Because one male can impregnate more females and result in more puppies in a day than any female can create in a year, if not a lifetime. And yet we did it. We did it for purely symbolic reasons, the purely symbolic reason being that's the way the real docs do it. But it's bizarre when you think about it, isn't it? You have to ask yourself, why? Why didn't this ever dawn on us? Why were we willing to do this to those animals? And why did we stop doing it about the same time that human medicine stopped doing it? And that was with the rise of feminism. When more and more women started asking, why are we doing this to women? the increased number of women in veterinary medicine started asking, why aren't we doing this to male dogs? That was our solution to the problem. Get even with them. Take their nuts off. And so it went. And once this precedent was set in veterinary medicine, the next step, we decided to do it earlier and earlier and earlier. And with each pass, the biological reason for reproduction, the biological effect of the reproductive organs and their effect on the animal's whole body, whole mind, became inconsequential. The act of spay and neuter was reduced to pure symbolism. Some of it undoubtedly so Freudian, I can't even begin to imagine what it is.
You've been listening to a podcast by veterinary ethologist Myrna Milani. For more podcasts, commentaries, and books about animal behavior and the human-animal bond, and links to behavior and bond sites, check out my website at www.mmilani.com. For more specific information, feel free to email me at mm@mmilani.com. All rights related to the content of these podcasts are retained by Myrna Milani. The background music, Molly on the Shore, by Percy Granger, is used with permission from Catova Arts, www.catova.com.